We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hockman and Crowder simulcast extravaganza. We are live as we are every Monday. Twin Peaks in Davie. Hop on University Drive. What are we, just a little bit
south of
595,
yeah,
on the east side of University Drive, and be here till 6 o'clock. And John Michaels, I don't want to eat up his time here, John Michaels is a longtime radio host. You can hear him nationwide on SB Nation Radio. You can hear him in Atlanta on 680 The Fan. He's as passionate as they come when it comes to the Miami Hurricanes, and him, poor guy, too, doing radio in Atlanta. He's a Falcons fan. Like, I mean,
terrible.
Terrible season. So John Michaels is here. Hello, John.
Well, I got to ask you guys, maybe to cheer me up, what's the scenery look like at Twin Peaks in Davie? Because I can tell you, the Twin Peaks here in Buckhead, it's top-notch talent. So I'd have to imagine on a dreary day for Miami fans, maybe that's something to look forward to is come seeing you guys, and more importantly, the Twin Peaks girls.
Yeah, it's legit. I'm not even lying. It's legit. I often get tongue-tied when I'm trying to say something here because my attention span, like.
But it's coming up soon, John. At 5 o'clock, they change shifts.
Oh, I love the shift change.
The 5 p.m. shift comes in, and they line up for the managers to come, you know, look at their uniforms. Hawk just flat out stops talking every day at 5 and just says, look over there, look over there. Yeah. But I say, hey, bro, we're on air.
Yeah, it catches me off guard every Monday, John. I know it's coming. You don't know it's coming. And then, boom, there I am.
I worked with Rick Kamla for years, and that's my guy. And we used to do Friday afternoon remotes at Twin Peaks here in Atlanta. And Rick would start having actual conversations with the waitresses or the bartenders while we're doing the show. He'd be like, hey, Kimberly, what do you think? I'm like, Rick, we're trying to do a radio show here. Go get a drink with Kimberly afterwards. It was always fun, but that's what we're supposed to do as middle-aged men when we're at a place like that.
Yeah, man, and it really does take our minds off what has just been. And I mean, not for Crowder's Gators, of course, but for us. Yeah, I don't know how Crowder's going to be when they're in the college football playoff, which is a very good possibility.
I'm ag nasty.
All right, let's talk about the Miami Hurricanes, though. For those that don't know, John Michaels grew up down here, does radio in Atlanta, but he is a Miami Hurricane through and through. He's got the Hurricanes logo tattooed on his arm. His son's name is Kane. I mean, this dude lives and breathes the Miami Hurricanes. So, without further ado, John, what is your State of the U, if you will?
Well, I just put an article up at stateoftheu.com, and it simply was titled Rebuild? I thought this was supposed to be the new Miami. It's funny, like 6 days ago I was on your show, and I kind of felt pretty good about the way that Miami was progressing. A win against number 20, Virginia. All of a sudden, things are looking up for the team. The defense had played better. The offense seemed to be going well. All seemed harmonious in Coral Gables. And then it comes out about 3 hours before game time that, shockingly, Jeff Thomas is suspended once again. For what? I have no earthly idea. And then they go out and laid, and this is what I put in the article, the worst loss in my lifetime for Miami. And I have Canes fans bad. Oh, we lost 48-0 to Virginia. This Georgia Tech team was running a middle school offense 9 short months ago. There isn't probably 3 players on their entire roster that would make a play for Miami that's not on special teams. Like, they're bad as far as, you know, being a team talent-wise. They just picked up the forward pass about 7 games ago, and they have a quarterback that looked like he was shot putting the ball all over the place. And that's who we just lost to? Manny Diaz is my guy, but the patience for him has gone very thin. I'm not saying he should be fired today, but if crap doesn't change right now, he better find Dan Enos and get his sorry ass out of here. He better tell Blake Baker and his manicured beard to step off somewhere because he doesn't want to follow with the same problems that you had with guys like Al Golden, who were too stubborn to get rid of their own dudes after they realized they couldn't coach. This, to me, Hawk, is the same as Al Golden losing to that 2-10 garbage Maryland team that he lost to back in 2009 or 2010, whatever year it was. Manny Diaz has no excuses. And then to throw out rebuild in your press conference, you're insulting my intelligence right now.
And, John, about that, defensively especially, what I'm upset with Manny, because that's his stuff. That's what he does. I know he hired his boys to call the game. Last week he told us, or going into Virginia game, he told us that he's going to take over and be more involved in the defense. But what happened to this defense, man? Is it Jimmy's and Joe's? We talk about a lot. Is it the players, or are you seeing a schematic problem with what's going on defensively?
I think it's both. I think we have overrated some of the guys that are on that team. I've fallen victim to it. I thought in year four with Shaq Quarterman and Michael Pinckney, these guys would be difference makers. It's nice. You can go out and put up 14 tackles or 13 like Shaq did on Saturday afternoon. Tell me one play that Shaq made that was a difference-making play. Okay, he came up with a fumble on a ball that got knocked loose. Michael Pinckney plays hard, plays aggressive. I like the kid. They don't make difference-making plays. And outside of Gregory Russo, I don't see anybody on that defense that does. DJ Ivey's a high three, low four-star recruit out of South Florida. We're thinking we've got the next great corner at Miami. He looked lost. Like, where is he going? There's only so many times a coach can say, hey, on a fake punt, you might want to cover the gunner. He turned around and stood there like he was in section 105, and the guy forgot to hand him a beer. Like, it's ridiculous to watch what they're doing. But I think schematically it's some of it as well. You had Georgia Tech, who literally could not throw the football. I know they completed a couple of passes in the game. Why is Miami lining up with two safeties deep as if Georgia Tech's going to have Tua Tagovailoa back there slinging the ball? Put eight in the box like Clemson did and dare that team to throw the football. Then from the player side, how about not miss 29 tackles in a game against a team that already got beat by the Citadel about 3 weeks ago?
I think, though, with all your criticisms there, which I don't agree with anything on the coaching staff. I'm more of a patience guy than you are. I'm okay with the manicured beard, and I'm okay with Dan Enos, but I obviously we always enjoy your opinion on it. But I really think you're missing the boat when you don't mention the kicking game. I really believe, and I've said this today. I've gotten killed for it on the text machine. I don't think you have to go much further than not being able to kick a field goal of 20, 25 yards could have a totally different record this season. I know that sounds lazy. I know you could look at 4th and 17. You could look at myriad plays and formations like you're talking about putting 8 in the box. I'm telling you, I am stuck on the kicking game. It's abysmal. It never should have gotten to this point. But I really feel like games would have been different if you could hit chip shot field goals or extra points, by the way.
Yeah, they've missed 5 field goals of less than 30 yards. And then, what is it, 2 extra points that's been missed, 1 blocked and 1 just flat out missed. That's all part of it. I'm not disagreeing with you, Hawk. I just think in a game, especially this past Saturday, you have no business having a game come down to a kick against the nerds from Georgia Tech. Like, I have all these dorks sending me texts right now with pictures of bumblebees. Are you kidding me? This is who we lost to? I get it. North Carolina, if you make a kick or two, you beat them. If Bubba Baxter makes an extra point against Virginia Tech, you beat them. And the tenor of the season has completely changed. But you're in games against inferior teams for everything that I was talking about. What happened to this Cameron Price kid? I thought there was another kid who was suspended for 2 games that potentially could make it. Because our guy McKicken, number 47, that kick that he tried from 30-something yards, he looked like the contest winner during the Dr. Pepper kickoff in the Sugar Bowl. Like, that kick had no chance.
I mean, everyone can have a bad kick here and there.
Channing, tell me that doesn't look like the guy they pull out of section 209 and he's got dad jeans.
Well, he hit the grass first, right? He kicked the grass. Accidentally. It was an accident.
You know, that's an accident.
There could be a bump, a molehill,
but
an anthill.
But you're a kicker in college.
An anthill.
Division one, and anthill catches your toe?
I think Manny Diaz made a mistake bringing Bubba Baxa on for the field goal at the end. I think he should have stuck with McKicken. I'm not even lying.
Yeah, totally agree with that. And then at the point when you realize Davidson had lost some confidence, I thought Bubba Baxter looked nervous when he came on the field. McKickin looked like they were going to actually ID him, and he had McLovin's ID. Like, that dude was petrified. And the kick that gets blocked, that thing didn't get 5 feet off the air. Like, there was no chance that was going to make it, and that's from 25 yards. Doesn't Miami have a lot of soccer players down there? I know they do, but can't you find somebody that could kick a soccer ball and say, look, we're going to shove a uniform on you. Nobody's going to know any difference. You're a walk-on, and we're going to have you go out there and kick some extra points. It can't be that tough at the University of Miami. Where's Carlos Huerta? Doesn't he have some eligibility left?
I love that guy.
Or Andy Crossbar, any of those dudes. I don't care.
And, John, who's going to Pittsburgh this week? Who's going to be under center to start the game? Who do you think is going to be?
It's probably Nikosi Perry. I know he finished the game with a separated shoulder. But when I watched Jaron go back in, I said, man, that doesn't look like a kid I want as my starter. He took a sack where he had 5.5 seconds to throw.
Oh, was that the worst sack? Oh, my God, was that a bad sack.
And he had three people running wide open, and he just wouldn't pull the trigger. So I guess it would be Perry. This is where I'm going to sound like a hypocrite from a week ago. I said last week, pick a guy and stick with him. We're 3-4. We suck. Let's just call it. We're a bad football team. Let me see the tattooed kid. Let me see the kid with the Instagram girlfriend. Maybe he's got enough swagger to run around and steal a victory or two. Because at this point, I like Perry. I think I like Jaron Williams. We're 3-4 with those guys playing quarterback. Give Tate a chance. Why not? What do you have to lose at this point? If he stinks and you're 3-5, so be it. You go from the Blue Bonnet Bowl to not in a bowl.
Somebody texts in, wait, you're telling me we have a kicker named McKickin? Someone who's casually following along with the season. It would be great if the kicker's name was McKickin. Yeah. Well, what are you going to do, John?
It's McKickin at this point.
It's a it's just a disappointing season. It's not where we expected. But, you know, I said this earlier. I think Manny Diaz is the right guy for the job, and I'm a proponent of patience. You've got to give a head coach a couple of years at least to put his imprint on the program.
He does deserve a couple of years, no doubt. But he better not stick with guys that aren't going to get him to where he needs to get to. Dan Enos has an arrogance about him that's not a good arrogance. It's an I'm smarter than you arrogance. And I'm seeing right now an offense that's averaging less points than Mark Richt was a year ago. And we all wanted Mark Richt gone because his offensive play calling was so awful. I also see a culture that Manny Diaz needs to clean up. I got Scott Patchen on social media saying, why are we questioning a walk-on being in at linebacker? Well, I'm questioning it because it's a 5'11 white kid out of Houston, Texas, that I had no earthly idea who he was in there because Manny said he practices behind Michael Pinckney. Why are my players going on social media after the game saying stuff to fans? Shut the hell up. Don't tell me to not be a fan later. How about stop losing awful games and we'll be there? I've been a fan since before any of these kids were born. I'm going to be a fan when half of them don't give a damn about the University of Miami. It's time to play like that. You mean something to you on the side of your helmet and stop being Twitter warriors. Twitter fingers get Twitter triggers after a while because I'm sick and tired of seeing some of these kids.
How the hell do I get into my Caneswear commercial, which comes now? I mean, maybe I picked a bad segment to have John Michaels on.
Well, I was going to tell y'all. Here's the thing.
I love Brett. Brett is my guy at Caneswear, so that'll give you a
I saw him this morning.
Well, fellas, we have open enrollment for the Gator Fan Club now. We're letting y'all in if y'all want to come over, John. I just opened it up to you.
No, we're fine. We're going to stick with South Beach.
Good.
You keep your Zaxby's late-night runs there. Let's see. Should we hit South Beach after a game, or should we go to Zaxby's where they have salads, according to their commercials?
I'd rather eat a salad after a win than Prime 112 after a loss.
Disagree.
Here's what I would rather have. I would rather have Tootsie's after a win than some trailer park in Gainesville at any time. So I'm good.
Talk to him, John.
I've had some Tootsie's experiences at trailer parks in Gainesville. Now, y'all don't know what trailer parks to go to.
Talk to him, John. All right, we got to get out of here. John Michaels, follow him on Twitter at John Michaels U. John Michaels U. If he is nothing, he is passionate about the Miami Hurricanes football program. Thank you, John.
I love you guys. See ya.
Love you, too.
You like that, don't you?
Huh? You say
all,
it.
All love, big dog.
What does that mean? All love, big dog.
All love, big dog.
What does that mean? He said, love you guys, and we say I love you, too.
All love.
Somebody says, I love you guys. You say, I love you too.
Oh, love, big dog.
Well, what does that mean, Bob Marley?
I got you, baby.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.